Hey, McCall, how are you?
I'm good, Kirsty. How are you doing today?
Doing great. This is going to be a fun day. We've got kids going back to school, so we figured why not bring back one of our favorite places that kids can go, which is Boonshoft Museum of Discovery.
I know. I'm so excited because it's an interactive podcast today. So hopefully, if you're listening, you can follow along. But it might be better to just go check out the podcast version and do the activity along with us.
Exactly. So our guide today is going to be Jason Heaton, which you have heard from him before. He's our director of astronomy at Boonshoft. And we had him on a couple podcasts ago, and he mentioned that, you know, we had asked, you know, what can kids do now that we've got different social distancing guidelines and, you know, what were kids doing in the summer? And he mentioned that Boonshoft actually has a ton of, you know, virtual things that they can do and different programs that Boonshoft has put together. So we are going to talk with Jason. Hello, you could probably already see, you already see him. Good afternoon, Jason. You want to tell us a little bit about what we're going to do today? And then maybe when we're done, we can talk about some of the other activities that Boonshoft has to offer.
Of course, yeah. This is an activity that we've done with several programs, including some of our online Scout programs. And it's a short segment, and it relates to Moana, or I should say Moana relates to it. So if you've seen the movie Moana, you'll appreciate this, and it's a lot of fun. It's a little bit of a game, okay. And you two will be my players in this game.
Ooh.
Oh, no pressure.
That sound good?
Yes. Yeah, sounds great.
Are you ready to try it out?
Yes, I think so. Do it.
Okay, I'm going to start sharing my screen over here, and in just a moment. First things first, I'm going to share a screen of showing you where I am right now, which is in the planetarium.
And if you've never been to the Boonshoft, the planetarium is my favorite part of Boonshoft. Very cool. There's people there right now.
Yeah, there aren't actually. This is a 360 video from YouTube, but I wanted to show you, you know, for those of you who haven't been in a planetarium, this will give you an idea of, you know, how you sit in a theater. Mm-hmm. And you look up. So, well, right now you're watching on maybe a laptop or a computer, but you're watching a rectangular screen. In the planetarium, behind the scenes, our screen is a circle. So that's what we primarily work with, is a circular, a spherical image. And this gives you an idea of that. So now that we've taken a look at that, I'm going to share what my actual screen is in just a moment here.
I loved that. So you just got a little inside look there at the planetarium at Boonshoft. If you had never been, hopefully that just convinced you that you should go see it, because that was really neat.
Yeah, so this is actually what I see.
Okay.
This is what I see day to day, and then we created a lot of this. So when I was saying about a spherical screen, mm-hmm. This is how I see. This is the top of my dome. You have to imagine that. This is the front, what people see when they're facing forward. And then way back here is behind me. And I know that's a little weird, but it does.
Yeah.
You all need to know that. I just wanted you to know that here's a picture of Dayton.
Right, I was going to say, they're at a riverscape.
And we can project the sky and change it however we might want. I can get rid of these clouds. And I'll do this first where I can show you what it will look like actually tonight. So we'll set the sun here. And the stars will come out. Yeah. I did it very fast. Of course, sunset's not that fast. But, but if you go out tonight, you can see several planets, right? There are Jupiter and Saturn are visible mm-hmm. in the evening sky. There they are.
Oh, neat. And
if we wanted to make them really big, we could.
It won't look like that in real life.
It won't look like that. Scary. It just looks like a dot. It's so far away. But also we show the constellations, and I wanted to show you this one right here. So constellations are like connected dot patterns in the sky. Mm-hmm. People forever have connected the dots, and I will ask you. So if I connect the dots over here, way in the back, and tell you that's an animal, what animal do you think that is?
A bird?
It is a bird. That's right. It's a swan called Cygnus the Swan. Now this connect the dots is a little bit more difficult, right? Here, again, it's an animal, but it might be, or an insect, or arachnid. Here, I'll show you. It's a scorpion.
I was going to say a scorpion?
That's right, yeah. That is Scorpio. It's one of the zodiac constellations. And the ancient Greeks, on one side of the planet, looked at this and said there was a scorpion. While on the other side of the planet, in the Pacific Ocean, they saw Maui's fishhook in the sky.
Yeah.
So this is the same pattern, but different people on different sides of the world saw a different pattern in the sky, but it's basically the same connected dots pattern. And there it is in the sky, and you can kind of see that fishhook, right?
Yeah.
And this was how they used their ships to navigate. So if you're facing a boat towards the fishhook, you know that you're sailing roughly south. And that's one of the ways they used patterns in the sky. Now I'm going to fade this out, and I'll show you a little bit about what I'm talking about. So this is a navigation program that we do. Mm-hmm. And the program is about how you can use the stars to navigate yourself and how people still do this today. But we emphasize this time period, a couple hundred years ago, when people discovered that in the Pacific Ocean, there were people all over the Pacific Ocean, and it's vast, right? The Pacific Ocean could mean Hawaii in the northern hemisphere, Tahiti in the southern hemisphere. It could be Easter Island. Anyway, the Pacific Ocean takes up like, you know, a good portion of the Earth. And it was discovered that all of the people on different islands in the Pacific were speaking the same language, were sharing the same culture. And slowly it was discovered that they must be talking to each other, that they must be traveling between the different islands, just like in the movie Moana, right? They were explorers. And so what did they use? How did they get across these vast distances? They used boats, of course.
Yeah.
And they used the wind, they used waves, and of course they used the stars, which they memorized just like in a planetarium.
That's so cool.
So in the planetarium here, I have stars I can watch. Now let me take this away. I will fade this out for a moment, and you guys will help me with a little game. So these voyages were huge. Right? They were, oh, I forgot one thing. These voyages were massive, right? Mm-hmm. I can put up my night sky again, and we can launch ourselves above the Earth to see how much of the world actually is the Pacific Ocean. Ooh. We can count down. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, we just launched into space.
Whoa!
All right. And I'm going to hover over Hawaii in just a moment.
We're in space. So
these voyages were not little voyages. They were massive. So this is Hawaii. And now here is, say, we're hovering over Tahiti. Look how much of the world this is, right?
Yeah, that's crazy.
A lot, yeah.
This would be tantamount. So a voyage from, say, Hawaii to Tahiti took a month, 30 days at sea. And this would be similar to if you were in Dayton, Ohio, which we're kind of above now, to traveling all the way to the capital of Ecuador. So that's the kind of journey you would take. But these voyages were done with no GPS, right? Nothing. They just had the stars and the wind to guide them and the waves below. So you are now in my game. And the game is simple. It's going to flash here in a moment. Imagine that you are at sea. Imagine you are on one of these boats. You are the navigator. You might be Maui or Moana or just a Polynesian navigator. And it's your job to get everybody there safely. You might have 20 people in your boat with you. You've got some water, you've got some fruit, and you have to make this long journey. So you need to know the stars. Now, the most important star to us in Ohio, for instance, is called the North Star. Mm-hmm. It never seems to move. So let's take a look at that star. Kind of zoomed in the stars a little bit so that you can see it. We'll pretend that it's turning into night, and the navigator might get up and he might look outside and see where we are on the Earth. Because if you change your location on the Earth, stars look a little bit different. All right, this is Polaris, also known as the North Star. Polynesian sailors called it Hokupa'a, which means the star that stands still.
Okay.
Why is it important? No matter what time of night it is, everything else might move, but the North Star seems to stay in the same spot.
Yeah.
So that's very important. The only time it changes is if you move on the planet. So if you are, say, in Hawaii, the North Star would be here, but if you're in Tahiti, it's all the way below the horizon. This is called the meridian. It's an imaginary line in the sky, but this represents 20 degrees north, the latitude of Hawaii, which is, you know, where Hawaii is, up or down above the equator of the Earth. We are going to imagine that we're taking this little voyage. We can do it like this. So imagine you got in a boat and we start to travel. Day after day, the North Star travels a little bit farther south. So when you wake up, the North Star is a little closer to the horizon. And each day it's like this. Now, finally, when you reach Tahiti, which is a vast distance away, Tahiti, the North Star is no longer visible at all. You can't use this. You have other patterns that you need, like the Southern Cross. Then you reach this island and you have a big party, right? And then you celebrate, you trade, you do whatever, and then you come back and you have to get to the exact same latitude on the Earth. And so this is how the game works. I'm going to have you tell me when to stop when we reach 20 degrees latitude. So I'm going to show you, if you look at my screen again, you guys have heard of this or you've seen this symbol?
Yeah.
Before? What do you think of when you see this? Like hang loose sometimes?
Hang loose, yeah. Right. Yeah. Like, yeah.
This is like a navigational tool. They used it to measure the stars. So if you put this finger at the horizon, this would be where the North Star was in Hawaii. It would be this far if you held your hand up like this. It's called the Shaka symbol. What I need you to do is figure out a way, whatever your method might be, figure out when we...
I feel like I'm having a
when we're at exactly 20 the horizon.
Okay, I think
you?
I got
it's
it,
okay.
Nicole.
You think you got it?
I think I got it too.
So kind of memorize when the North Star is at 20 degrees. Are you ready?
Okay.
You
think? Yeah.
All right, let's go. All right. So again, get in our boat. We've loaded up exactly or pretty close to 30 days worth of supplies. And we need to make it to Tahiti. And once we get there, we'll trade. Sometimes they might trade rock from Hawaii. There was special rock found on their volcanoes. Mm-hmm. But then when they came back, it was very important that they got close to that 20 degree mark. If they, for some reason, were more than a few degrees off, they would run out of water or run out of other supplies.
Right.
And I will let you know, I'm going to stop talking just a minute, and both of you tell me when to stop.
Okay.
And I'll just wait for you to say stop, and I'll stop it immediately.
Almost.
Stop.
Stop? Okay. Now remember, the life of your crew depends upon this.
No, keep going.
Keep going.
The captain says keep going.
I didn't say anything.
It was the wrong star.
I did.
Stop now?
Stop.
Is it?
Are you good? I'm panicking over here.
Are you?
Keep going a little bit more.
Okay. Here we go, a little more.
Hang on. And stop.
Okay. Are you ready to see how you did?
Yes.
If you're more than 4 degrees off, you might run out of water. Within 4 degrees, you'll be safe. You and your crew will be safe. Let's see how you did.
Well, I definitely sunk the ship.
You Woo! Are exactly right. You did it. You survived. And you are now the hero of your entire crew. You did it.
I did not. My people did not make it.
That's why we're a team, McCall. If we're on a boat together, we, you know, we always refer to each other.
Yeah. Well, you did it. That's the important thing. And you did a great job. I'm going to stop sharing the screen now. Okay. Well done.
That is so cool.
Yeah, you learn a little bit and you play a game at the same time. And there's things that are relevant to today as well. For instance, astronauts had to learn the stars in case all of their navigation equipment went out.
Oh, that would be so scary.
Right.
It's even more of a panic attack than right. fake.
Yeah, except to imagine for a moment, I'll share my screen one more time here. Imagine that this was your view of the sky. You've got all of these things in the way, and you have to look out the portals your windows and be able to navigate just in case.
Nowhere that is to point, crazy.
Right? So people still use the stars to navigate even today. The stars will stay the same throughout most of your life. So just the planets and the moon, so forth, move. Hey, I have one more thing right here.
Okay. That was fun, by the way.
That was very fun.
This is a Micronesian shell map. So this isn't the same as Polynesia. This is a real artifact from our collections department.
Cool.
These are islands.
Okay.
These are, well, they can, these might be the currents and so forth. Mm-hmm. But this is an actual piece people would use to navigate boats once upon a time.
That is really neat.
That is cool.
So
that's like their GPS.
Exactly. Yeah.
Most primitive GPS.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Those maps were largely personal. They may be passed from father to son or something like that. And it may have to do with, could be anything from like, oh, we saw this pot of turtles here, you know, something. But they're very interesting either way. So that's part of one of the programs that we do, talking about navigation. And we have lots of programs like that.
That's been so cool.
Yeah. What's something you remember from being in the planetarium?
I love seeing like what's in the sky tonight and always learning different constellations that are up there. When you showed me Maui's fish hook just a few minutes ago, my daughter, excitedly, she's almost four, I told her about the planet Saturn and Jupiter, and we picked them out in the sky. And then a week later, we were outside with the neighbors, and she goes, "Those are planets." And the neighbors were like, "What?" And I was like, "She's right." And they're like, "Really?" And so then they jokingly were like, "So Gia, what planets are they?" And she's like, "Saturn and Jupiter."
And I love it.
Then they looked at me and I was like, "That's right." So, but now I saw when you brought up tonight's sky, which obviously this changes through the year, that Maui's fishhook will be to the right hand side of those two planets. So while we might have enough clearing tonight to see it, but that makes me excited that I can now point out something new, and Maui's fish hook is something that she might remember from the movie, and so then maybe she'll surprise the neighbors again this weekend and tell them Maui's fish hook is in the sky.
They show the stars several times in Moana, and they talk about navigation and techniques and so forth. They did their research, and they did a very good job of talking about this, and I've had a lot of students become very excited in the night sky just based on that movie alone. So I love that movie personally, and of course it's easy to memorize from start to finish, right?
So that is really neat when a movie is so popular and then, you know, there's actual like some historical truth or something with science that can be applied to it. You know, and how excited Gia was to know the planets. I do think when you're a child and you have that first experience of finding something in the night sky, knowing what it is, it really sticks with you.
And
I mean, I'm still a nerd about it. Since I was little.
I am too, by the
way. Clearly, as we're all podcasting and talking about space.
I know. But planets are definitely my favorite thing to see in the sky.
Yeah. I just think people forget that they're, for the most part, either in the morning or at night, you could pretty much always find at least one of them. It's just fun, and it's a nice steady constant for people to, you know, always be able to see Venus early in the morning this time of year, or Saturn and Jupiter have been out at night for a while now. So that's really neat. So this is something fun that, I mean, kids could do. And again, we are adults, and McCall and I, like, were super engaged in that activity.
We feel a little sweaty.
We struggled a little bit. So what else, now that kids are back in school? You know, some parents are still doing virtual schooling, so they have a lot of time with their kids in their home. What else is Boonshoff doing now that we're right back into the back to school mentality?
We have a number of things that I should probably mention. One, as our facilities are opening slowly up again, piece by piece, we are starting to do live shows again here in the planetarium.
That's great.
They're not announced. They're not on the schedule yet, but if somebody's here, we'll do them. And we have a number of shows that we're showing. But as far as online, we have our new learning pods, call it. And we have distance learning for schools and teachers. And we have a number of different interesting things coming up. But learning pods are the thing that I would definitely want to mention right now, because Boonshoff, we had our summer camps. They were pretty successful. We closed off entire areas of the museum that were pretty interactive, and we just dedicated that to campers and school children. And now we're doing that. So we've got several students right now, and they come in, and it's a safe environment, which is sanitized multiple times a day, and there's, you know, distancing between the students. And we just go through student by student, helping them, because some schools are operating virtually, right? You meet with the teacher. Others, you do all the work on your own or with the parent or guardian. Mm-hmm. And so all the students have a different plan. And so we just have a member of the staff work with them. And we also have brain breaks. And, of course, field trip day, which is where they get the whole museum to themselves. Nice. So that's kind of fun, too. But, yeah, we have learning pods, which you can check out on the website, are something we're heavily invested in, since people need a place, a safe place, right, to send their kids, and they know that they're getting the enrichment and engaging activities. So we have brain breaks, and yeah, that'll be my job sometime in the next couple of weeks. I'll be working with the kids in the pods.
That is really neat. Mm-hmm. What a great opportunity for people to be able to take advantage of that.
Yeah. And now, I know that, and maybe that's the pods that you're talking about, but the last time we spoke, you mentioned something about kits. So I don't know if it's like people register to be a part of these pods. Are you still doing like learning sessions?
Yeah, we have. Scheduled? I'm going to share my website here, since I've got.
Yeah.
First of all, here's learning pods. Yeah, these are the learning pods, which you can find on our website. And I'll stop sharing that. We also have digital programming, which is, oh my, I've got so many tabs open, I can't help you right now.
Sounds like my computer desk.
Right. Yeah, Boon Shop to Home. These are virtual programs.
Oh, wow.
So if something fits, something you're learning about right now, we can supplement that. We've got all of these different activities, and they usually have a video related to them. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, an activity guide, which you can download, print out, or work on. And these are all aligned to standards and so forth. And then, of course, we have our animals, which people just love to look at, sloth and so forth. So we've got in-depth things that you can check out on our YouTube page. But you were talking about specifically, McCall, you were mentioning our Camp in a Box program.
Yes, yes.
So for the summer camp, we offered in-house camps. And we also offered these sort of distance learning camps. So you would order a kit, we would send it to you, and then you could either go have instruction from the Boon Shop over mm-hmm. the internet, or just do it on your own. And those camps are still available.
Nice.
So they're not with the online instruction, but you can purchase the materials from the camps. You can get them from either our gift shop or Sunwatch gift shop or our website. Personally, I like the backyard astronomy camp, but I think probably the most fun, I don't want to pick one, but Wizard STEM.
Yeah.
Wizard STEM is a great camp. So kids really like
cool.
That.
It does. Yeah,
it is cool.
So Jason, obviously the pandemic has impacted everybody. We've talked about McCall and I, how it's impacted our job, but has it allowed for you at Boon Shop to maybe really push yourselves and your staff to think outside of the box, to still be available and relevant and interesting to the community?
Absolutely. I think I had an internet glitch there for a moment. Okay. it has definitely impacted.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the first thing was we had to take down a lot of the interactives. Mm-hmm. And then we put up some of the interactives again with extensive cleaning. All the exhibits are starting to change. Of course, we're adapting to this. So if you visit us again, our kids' place now looks a little bit different. It has floor activities instead of the same hands-on activities we used to have. So I know you lost me a couple times. Did I answer the question?
You did.
We got most of it. Yeah.
We got most of it. Yes, we did.
Okay.
That's interesting. And you know, you got to do what you have to do during this time. And that's wonderful that you guys really made the effort to make sure that you're still, you know, here for the community, because it really is special that we get to have Boon Shop in this area.
It is, and it's not, it's supported by the people in the community. That's why we do that. So I should mention that just in a couple of days, when does this air? A couple of days from now?
Friday.
Friday. We have an online auction coming up, September 5th. So that'll be, and we've got a whole bunch of really cool items. They're part of our gala, which of course is online this year instead of anything else. So if you're interested, our Boon Shop Bash is coming up, but the auction you can join the auction whether or not and bid on these different items. And that helps support us and, of course, the animals who are here all the time. And no matter if we're closed or not, the animals still need to eat and so forth. So I did mention that you can help that.
And I know that our community really does love the Boonshoft. And when everything was happening, I know I was talking to other mom friends of mine that are, you know, have kids my daughter's age and even a little bit older, were missing that. You know, that was something they could do when it was rainy outside or, you know, anytime there was something cool happening to be able to go. And to not have those things now is a little hard. And then as we get into the colder months of the year, and there's not so many outdoor days anymore, the Boonshoft, I know, was a really good resource. So I'm happy that you guys have created all these things and activities for our kids to do.
Absolutely. I'm a parent too. And so I know how hard it is to not be able to go to these places that we all just kind of took for granted once upon a time. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
But there are still options and people are still working on these things. So.
Well, we appreciate you guys.
Yeah. I shared my screen one last time to show you this as one of the items up for bid in the auction.
Whoa.
That's a replica of one of our fossils that we have here, and we made a mold, and this is a professionally done replica that you can bid on in our auction.
I was going to say, that looks so real.
That looked like a, so what animal?
What animal, yeah.
Saber-toothed cat.
That's whoa, I was going to say something, yeah, those teeth, that's crazy.
Saber-tooth.
That's so neat.
Yeah.
I wonder what my husband would say if I bid a ton of money and got that.
Well, there are a lot of cool things from paintings to other made by naturalists and things, you know, just check it out online if you're really interested in the auction, but there's some cool stuff.
Well, I like it because you can get something really cool. Like I would, that's unique. Really cool to me. And you get to support something that's local and, you know, is for the entire community.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Well, Jason, thank you so much for joining us today. I love doing our activity. And thanks for filling us in on what Boonshoft is doing now that we're getting back into school, how you guys are, you know, changing your exhibits, opening things back up. It's always nice to be able to check in with you. And of course, we've got Boonshoft, the website. We'll put that on our web story. Boonshoft also has a Facebook page. So you can look at some of the pictures like that auction item that he just sent us. And if you are listening, hopefully this was still pretty easy to listen to. We tried to be descriptive when we all spoke, but if not, you can, of course, watch this on our WHIO streaming app. But thank you, Jason, and I'm sure we'll connect with you again as we continue through the school year, maybe get back into winter, talk about some winter sky events that will be going on. I think that's always fun.
Of course. I'd be glad to. Thank you.
All right, well, join us next time for another episode of Cloudy with a Chance of Podcast. Don't forget, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, as well as Stitcher and WHIO.com. And for all of the video versions of these episodes, you could watch them on our WHIO app. It is free on your streaming device. So we'll see you next time.